to make the stuff that they sell to oil drilling operations. The factory that they're opening in Mexico.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
They said Halliburton's chose the state of Nuevo León for its economic leadership. That would be a code for cheap labor. Yeah.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Imus in the morning.
CBS has fired talk show host Don Imus after his racist comments about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. The move follows MSNBC's decision to pull the plug on its simulcast and is welcomed by the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
We're going station by station, network by network, and say, let's stop hatred or self-hatred. Let's stop degradation or self-degradation. We should not poison or toxify the airwaves.
Reverend Al Sharpton said it was not about bringing Imus down, but raising decency standards. Michael Harrison is publisher of the trade magazine Talkers.
Imus stepped into one of those perfect storms when a number of social pressures and social sensitivities, political sensitivities too, were all reaching a critical point.
A statement from CBS President Les Moonves says the decision was made after a period of thought and discussion. A suicide bomber struck in the heart of one of the safest places in Iraq today.
I'm Martin Seemungal in Baghdad. A huge explosion in the center of the Green Zone, the very high security area where the Iraqi parliament sits. The politicians were in the cafeteria at the time of the explosion. There were many, many casualties.
This is the very institution that is there providing hope for these people, that is giving them a better way of life, that is passing legislation that is moving forward to unite this country. And so it's the one thing that an organization like Al-Qaeda will strike against.
Major General William Caldwell, the blast killed 8 people, including 3 lawmakers. Another attack in Baghdad ripped into a bridge that spanned the Tigris River, killing 10 people when cars plunged into the water. Those 3 Duke University players cleared of sexual assault charges have now received an apology from the DA who hoped to prosecute them. Here's reporter Jim Crisula.
Mike Nifong's first public reaction to the dismissal of all charges in the Duke lacrosse case comes in a written statement. He offers an apology, bitterly rejected by a defense lawyer, to the 3 former Duke lacrosse players falsely charged with rape. Nifong says he realizes the harm they've suffered.
North Carolina's attorney general criticized the DA yesterday for pursuing the matter, even though there was no DNA match and no corroborating witnesses. And the stripper who accused the players later changed her story. Fires are burning in the hills above Los Angeles and damaging or destroying some very expensive homes. Derek Bell is a chopper pilot for KCBS-TV.
This area, high-value homes, close proximity to one another, lots of foliage around it, and with the high winds and those burning, blowing embers, I should say, a very dangerous situation.
Helicopters are helping to fight the flames. On Wall Street, at the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrials were up 68 points at 12,552, and the NASDAQ Composite Index was higher by 21. This is CBS News.
Now, there's a weed and feed that not only helps you get more fun out of your lawn, it helps get more weeds out of your lawn. New Scotts Turf Builder Max Plus 2 with Crabgrass Preventer. Hi, this is Ashton Ritchie from Scotts. New Turf Builder Max is a revolution in weed and feeds. It has 50% more feeding power, kills dandelions, and, unlike ordinary weed and feeds, stops crabgrass all season. Apply New Scotts Turf Builder Max now for a great Scotts lawn without dandelions and without crabgrass.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot.
It was meant to replace a drug that's the center of hundreds of lawsuits, but now it, too, is at the center of concerns over possible side effects. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has more.
Merck proposed a drug called Arcoxia as an arthritis treatment, but now an advisory panel of federal health experts has voted 20-1 to recommend the FDA not approve it. An FDA drug safety expert says it may increase substantially the risk of stroke and heart attack and is no more effective for pain relief than other medicines in the same class. The drug, like Vioxx, which was pulled from the market, is a so-called COX-2 inhibitor.
EMI and the Beatles Company have come to an agreement over royalties. They did not disclose a sum, but the deal could mean Beatles tunes are available online again for downloading. Apple Corps, which is owned by Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and the widows of John Lennon and George Harrison, had sued EMI for $60 million in unpaid royalties. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Welcome to Lardo's.
Yeah, can I get an order of spare tires?
Yeah, what size? Plump, chubby, or incredibly huge?
How about incredibly huge?
You want love handles with that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Tasty, low-fat subs, better-for-you sides, and a drink. Subway, eat fresh.
Fat content refers to regular 6-inch sub on white or wheat bread without condiments that contain fat. See store for additional nutritional information, including sodium content. Products may vary. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. But
when's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, wiper blades are 25% off.
I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Sale ends April 28th.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, what's so funny, man, huh? Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and lots to talk about. Coming up about a half an hour, Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan checks in. He's got a great blog devoted exclusively to Iraq, and we're going to talk to him about an article he penned for the current edition of The Nation magazine, How to Get the U.S. Out of Iraq. That's about a half hour from now. Then Scott Dick, next hour, he's our contributor on military and veterans issues. He'll be with us along with Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out. We'll talk about the new Pentagon policy, says a one-year deployment is 15 months. Also on today's program, Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch will tell us about how the information on payments made to the survivors of people killed, Iraqis killed in Iraq, has given us some grisly information about who gets the payment and who doesn't, and what kind of language is used in those communications. It's a little ugly, I'll just tell you that right now. And as usual, our third and final hour is set aside for your free speech rights because they are still in full effect. You'll be able to call in now or during the third hour, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll free number. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you're not in agreement with me on a given issue or a given day, just send it to loudmouth@peterbcollins.com. It'll reach me. Well, Faz Shakir has the day off today. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And pinch-hitting from the Center for American Progress is the lovely and well-informed Christy N. Harvey. Hello, Christy.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for joining us today. I'm doing okay.
Thanks for having me.
And this is the fourth day this week I'm doing better than Don Imus and Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh, my gosh. I think a lot of people can make that same claim.
Yeah. And I just got the word about a half hour ago from one of my insider tipsters in the radio biz that CBS Radio has announced they're joining the side of MSNBC, and they are firing Don Imus, too. So his suspension will turn into a retirement.
It's true. His show is basically over, as we know it, on CBS Radio. Remains to be seen if it'll be picked up somewhere else, for example, satellite radio or something like that. But for Imus, this is huge. I mean, this is a huge, huge blow. And in some sense, I think it's a little sad. You know, he's had this long and very entertaining radio career. So for him to allow himself to go out like this, and this is what he'll be remembered for now, I think is just sort of tragic.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, in some cases it's sad, but when you look at the pattern of his behavior, and Media Matters did a great job of cataloging his offenses over the years, and when Steve Kappas went on MSNBC last night, the president of that network, to announce their decision to terminate the IMUS simulcast, it was clear that it was that lengthy laundry list and not simply the recent episode about the Rutgers women's basketball team.
I think that's very true. I think firing IMUS for the comments about the women's team is a little like convicting Al Capone for tax evasion. if you look at the things that have come out of IMUS's mouth over the past decade, a lot of them are beyond crude. A lot of them are completely unconscionable. And I think what is interesting here to me is as the mainstream media tries to catch up with the popularity of humor news, for example, Don Imus' show or The Daily Show, it should be a warning sign for them to realize that the humor news has its pitfalls and dangers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do, I think, very strongly think, need a mainstream media that is not all commentary or anger or trying to be funny as well. We still need basic journalism.
Yeah. And just a couple of observations from the excessive coverage of this whole episode, largely fomented by MSNBC itself. There was an interesting panel last night. Armstrong Williams was on, and he's the guy who accepted cash payments to put out rosy PR information on his radio show and in his newspaper columns about the No Child Left Behind Act.
Right.
And as he was introduced, Craig Crawford from, where's he from? Like The Hill or, I don't know.
He used to be with, I think he's now with, I think doing something with Politico, but he used to be with National Journal.
Yeah. So he was caught off guard because he apparently didn't realize he was on camera.
Uh-huh.
And he was at a different location, and when he heard David Gregory introduce Armstrong Williams, he cracked up. Now, that was a politically incorrect moment. I don't think it had any racial tinge to it. It was simply, wow, I'm on with that joker? I'm on
with that
bankrupt journalist?
Right. I don't even know if you can even call Armstrong Williams a journalist anymore.
Well, I put bankrupt in front of it. So
I'll give you that one then.
I think it'll apply. The other moment was also unusual in the exchange between Don Imus and Al Sharpton that MSNBC broadcast the other day. At one point, Imus slipped and referred to Reverend Sharpton as Reverend Hargis. Now, Billy Saul Hargis is one of the longest-running characters on the Imus show. He runs the Church of Gooey Temptation and Salvation in Del Rio, Texas.
Oh, my gosh, and he actually slipped and called Sharpton
Hargis
by that name.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty telling right there. You know, though, Peter, I think that the real heroes in this are really the women of the Rutgers team.
Yeah.
I think that they have handled this intense media scrutiny that they were not prepared for or expecting. I think they've handled it with a lot of grace and class. They were on Oprah's show this afternoon, talking with Oprah. And I think that they could have been irate about it or hysterical or tried to blow this up into something that it's not to gain the spotlight, but they've been very, very calm, and they've been very direct and open about their feelings with it, and I think they've done a really good job of handling this.
Yeah, and there should be a memo issued to all white shock jocks, including the aging ones. Don't really try to pretend you're a member of the hip-hop nation.
No.
I think
it's always ugly.
I think that's a lesson we all can learn. Christy Harvey's with us from the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And there is other news in Washington than the Don Imus flap. And a lot of it has to do with the Alberto Gonzalez appearance scheduled for the Senate Judiciary Committee next week.
And we've been kidding that he's at home practicing, spending more time with his family, and also practicing his lines for the senators. And one of the complications now is missing emails from not the White House servers, but the Republican National Committee servers that Karl Rove and other political operators were using. They would argue so that they didn't violate the Hatch Act by conducting politics on government time and dime. But it appears that now that a bunch of those emails that we think could be informative or perhaps even incriminating are missing. They went into the Rosemary Woods 18-minute gap.
This is an incredible story. This is actually very, very interesting and a very telling look at how this White House operates. But yes, they basically set up a shadow computer system to try and keep some things off the radar, and they've been busted. They were caught using this system because it was secret to, for example, conduct a lot of the discussion about the firing of the U.S. attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They were caught using this secret system, for example, in their dealings with Jack Abramoff.
Right.
And
that gets right into Rove's office because he hired Susan Ralston, who used to work for Abramoff, and she clearly was the communications go-between between Rove and Abramoff.
Absolutely. And at one point, Abramoff said, hey, don't email the White House at the White House account. You got to use the secret RNC account or else we'll get caught. So they actually knew that they were, it's not like somebody slipped. They knew that they were doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of things to keep in mind with this. First, when the story first broke, the White House said, you know what, this is not a big deal. Only a couple of people have these accounts. Well, in my dictionary, couple means two, possibly three or four.
Right.
It turns out at least 50 White House people have had access to these secret accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they said, oh, well, we accidentally lost some of the emails. Not a big deal. Of the whole group, you know, it's only a few of them got lost. Well, it turns out that they, quote-unquote, deleted, lost, erased, whatever, 5 million emails.
5 million emails?
5 million emails between October 2003 and November of 2005.
Now, based on my email traffic, 4.8 million of those are spam offers for discount mortgages or penis extension.
Quite possible, although I don't really need the mental image of Karl Rove reading those emails. I need the brain bleach right about now. But the interesting thing there is legally, all White House communications must be saved by law, so they can eventually be disclosed as part of the National Historic Record.
That's the Presidential Records Act.
It is, and it's you can't just delete things. So that right there is breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved, my new hero of the week is Senate Judiciary Chair Patrick Leahy. He's quite often my hero of the week. And he's not buying it. And
mm-hmm.
he got up on the Senate floor today and basically said the White House is a bunch of liars.
Well, in fact, we have the soundbite, courtesy of you, of Senator Leahy, and we'll get to it right after our break. Christy Harvey is with us from the Center for American Progress. We're talking about the missing emails. And as you know, I did some sleuthing myself. I sent that email, a test email, to turdblossom@gwb43.com. And I was relieved when it came back from Mailer Damon. There is no such account. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be with us with an exciting real estate opportunity. If you'd like to get in on some real estate that's below market price, you'll want to hear about this exciting opportunity. To find out more information on the show or to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. We're visiting with Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress, talking about the 5 million missing White House emails that were on a non-White House server. This gives you more evidence about the gangsta's paradise there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking. Are you and your homies my been lying and talk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta know. As they go, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light. And Christy Harvey, Senator Pat Leahy, who you mentioned is your hero of the week or something to that effect, the senator from Vermont and also the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's a generally very calm, cool, collected, and mild-mannered diplomatic guy. But this appears to really have gotten under his skin.
Oh, he's furious. He's absolutely furious. And why shouldn't he be? I mean, he's actually trying just to get to the bottom of what's going on with this U.S. attorney firing scandal. He's trying to play it straight. And the White House has bobbed and weaved and dodged and lied and hidden things. And he's just out of patience, finally. And you really can't blame him. So when it came out today that they're now trying to play the, oops, we don't know what happened. Something must have happened, but we accidentally erased everything. When they tried to pull that card, he said, enough is enough.
And they say they have not been preserved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You can't erase emails. Not today. They've gone through too many servers. They can't say they've been lost. That's like saying the dog ate my homework. It doesn't work that way. Those emails are there. They just don't want to produce them. It's like the famous 18-minute gap in the Nixon White House tapes.
Yep.
They say they've been erased or misplaced. They're there. They're there. They know they're there. And we'll subpoena them if necessary. And we'll have them.
Ooh, well, he is angry, and he's very determined, and he's right.
He's absolutely right. And it's just, you know, you can push people like Pat Leahy only so far, and then they're just going to say, that is it, that is enough. But there are some interesting rumors going around here in Washington.
Tell me.
That this is kind of good stuff, that one of the reasons these emails were quote-unquote lost is all of these White House aides thought that they were on a secret, protected email system that no one would ever see. So the rumor is that they were very unguarded and did not take the pains to really cover their tracks in doing some very shady things.
Mm-hmm.
So the rumor is when we get these emails and when they are retrieved from the servers where they do still exist, we're going to see some really crazy stuff go down.
The other side of this that I look at, Christy, is this is the administration that has violated the law in its effort to perfect its surveillance of Americans and, those Al-Qaeda people who keep calling the United States. And can we imagine that they have managed to lose intercepts, even unlawful ones, that could show us the real nature of the NSA surveillance programs and prove ultimately that they've broken the law?
Absolutely. You know, maybe that's in there. I kind of like the poetic justice of they've been reading our emails, now we get to read theirs.
Yeah.
I think that's just brilliant. But the other thing that it pays to keep in mind here is since they set up this shadow system that's completely outside of the White House, specifically to conduct non-White House business, they now cannot, absolutely cannot, claim executive privilege.
Right.
And I think that's another reason that they had to make 5 million of these emails disappear and quick, because they didn't have, they're used to being able to hide behind the executive privilege thing to try and shield some of their shadier dealings.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that because they were just too clever by half. Their trick turned on them.
Well, this is going to get more and more interesting. And again, to borrow a phrase from the Nixon Watergate era, Nixon used what he called the limited hangout route. He went on TV, and behind him were these binders that he said were transcripts of all the tapes, and this is the complete record of Watergate. And then he said, I'm not a crook. And 4 months later, he was on that helicopter to San Clemente. And I think that they attempted the limited hangout route with the emails that they released earlier. And now they're sitting there saying, we can't even black out the worst of all this stuff because digital redaction has not reached the right level.
It'll definitely be interesting, especially because, you know, we've suspected a lot of the stuff that they've been doing down there on Pennsylvania Avenue. It'll be very interesting to actually get the proof.
Yeah. Now, Christy, about a minute remaining here. The White House has floated a trial balloon that they're trying to come up with somebody to run the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we know that three generals or retired generals have already turned down the job. Now, do you know if they've approached some great Americans like John Bolton and Don Rumsfeld?
I would be surprised if they hadn't. But, yeah, I think actually now it came out just about half an hour ago that two others have turned it down. So we're up to five generals
mm-hmm.
who have said, get that job away from me. I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And why would you? They're basically looking to hire a fall guy. They're basically looking to put a yes man in the position, someone who will just agree with the current failed strategy, who they then, when everything, as it's probably going to do, goes belly up, they can point to that guy and say, see, it wasn't our fault, it was that guy over there.
But Christy, go back just a couple of years. Didn't at one point Bush, with some flourish, deputize Condoleezza Rice and say she was in charge of the occupation of Iraq?
And then we never heard about it again.
Right.
That was a one-day news story. But, yeah, he did. He did. And there should be enough people who are already doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, what's wrong with putting, I don't know, Secretary of Defense Gates in charge of running the war? What's wrong with having President George Bush take responsibility for some of the decisions in the running of the war?
Well, that's been real successful so far. Thank you, Christy. Great to talk with you.
Thanks a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and here's what I'm hacked off about today. Republican Congressman John Bonner. He recently called on Speaker Pelosi to reconvene Congress early next week to pass the budget for Bush's war. He claims this issue is of national importance. What a hypocrite! Last year, when the Republicans controlled the House, they didn't pass the budget. They even left office without passing the budget. Now, wasn't that an issue of national importance, Mr. Bonner? Just as George W. is leaving the mess he created in Iraq for the next administration, the 109th Republican Do-Nothing Congress left the tough choices to the Democrats. And then they can blame someone else for the deficits and problems they created. You've been listening to the opinions of Todd the Taxi Driver. If you'd like to hear more, listen to my show, The Week in Politics, Monday night, 10 p.m.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. for The Week in Politics with your host, Todd Hurlbert and T.C. Rafe. We'll cover presidential politics, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and take a look at the local issues. And that taxi guy just might show up with an opinion or two. See you Monday at 10.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Time to go home, take our boys away now. Take our girls away now. Take our boys away now. Take our girls, time to go home. Take our boys away now. Take our girls away now. Take our boys away now.
One of our goals here on the Peter B. Collins Show is to bring you views and voices that belong in the mainstream media, but for various reasons you can't find there. And I like to turn to people who are smarter than me and better informed. Case in point, right now we present Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. You should visit his website, juancole.com. It's called Informed Comment, and on a daily basis he updates information and commentary regarding the U.S. war and occupation in Iraq. Professor Cole, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much, and thanks for the kind words, Peter.
Well, my pleasure. You do a lot of great work, and we need it. I wish you could go take a nice long vacation somewhere, but we do appreciate the work that you put in, like I said, on a daily basis. I want to talk in a moment about a powerful piece that is in the April 23rd edition of The Nation magazine that you wrote, entitled How to Get the U.S. Out of Iraq. But before we get to that, I wanted to get your comments on a couple of things. Major General William Caldwell has been in the news over the last couple of days, repeating what many of us are highly suspicious of. It's an allegation that Iran is directly aiding insurgents in Iraq. And in particular, Caldwell is now saying that based on reports from people that they have detained, Iranians or Iraqi fighters of various types, that he believes that Iran is supplying munitions to Sunni Arab guerrillas. You find this a little bit far-fetched.
I find it completely implausible. I don't know why he would say such a thing. It's like saying that they've discovered that the Irish government was supplying weapons to the Protestant Unionists in Belfast. It's saying like the United States put the communists in power in China in 1949. I mean, it's just completely at odds with any realistic assessment of what Iranian policy would be.
And, Professor, we've heard the increasing volume of the drumbeat, the war drums toward Iran, and the posture that the Bush has taken, increasingly aggressive toward the Iranian government. They always refer to it as a regime. And many people believe that they're trying to build a case in American public opinion for a unilateral assault on Iran. Do you see Caldwell's comments as part and parcel of that effort, or is this more focused on PR spin related to the problems in Iraq?
I really couldn't tell you why he's saying these things. It's not impossible that the Sunni Arab guerrillas want a war between the United States and Iran, and are trying to manipulate the United States into one, and that when they interrogate the guerrillas, they tell them, oh, yes, Iran is helping us. It's possible that there's arms being smuggled in from Iran. They're being smuggled in from Jordan and Syria, too. But we never complain too much about Jordan and Saudi Arabia as sources. So it's possible they're finding Iranian-made weapons in the hands of Sunni Arab guerrillas, and they're reading off from that they must have been supplied. I really don't know. It's possible that they're just misinterpreting the evidence that they do have. It is also possible that Dick Cheney told them to say these things. Dick would like to bomb Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Word is he'd like to nuke it. I think Washington works by having a big, powerful enemy out there with which to scare the American people into giving up their liberties. And the right suffers nowadays from not having a plausible big enemy. So they're building up little Iran, which, you know, has a per capita income of $2,800 a year, as some kind of bogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Professor, in the mainstream media, we've heard accounts in recent weeks about Sunni-on-Sunni violence in Iraq. This is sometimes described as Baathists, former Baathists, or people maybe still consider themselves to be Baathists. They were the group that Saddam Hussein controlled. And the insurgents linked to al-Qaeda. Is this true? Do we have Baathists who are attempting to squeeze alleged al-Qaeda activists out of the picture in Iraq? Or is this another concoction of the American spin machine?
Well, there are always conflicts among guerrilla groups. You know, guerrilla wars are very fractured and disparate, and we saw these things in Afghanistan, too. So I don't doubt that some of the more secular-minded Baathists are annoyed with the people who call themselves al-Qaeda in Iraq. There have been instances where the Salafis, which is what they really should be called, the Sunni revivalists, have bombed recruitment stations for police where they've killed Sunni young men who were willing to cooperate with the new regime. And, of course, their families are angry, and that makes a feud. So there's some red-on-red violence, but I wouldn't put a lot of hope in it turning the situation around or anything.
No, I think it makes it more complicated.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the hope, I think, of the U.S. military is that they can gradually get the tribes and the secularists on their side and pit them against the Salafi revivalists and so forth. And I just think, you know, all of these guys in Iraq, the Sunni Arabs in Iraq, if they've got a choice between killing an Iraqi or killing an American, they go for the American almost every time.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, my lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. Professor, last week with some flourish, Ahmadinejad released the British sailors and Marines who had been held captive. And I'm curious about your thoughts, because while there was some pressure applied to these people in detention, detainees or captives, and they felt that they had to cough up some of the comments they made, admitting falsely, in their view, that they had crossed the international border there in the Shatt al-Arab waterway between Iraq and Iran. And I just wanted to contrast that with the U.S. treatment of our high-value detainees that we have tortured. And while I don't think it was a picnic for those British military people who were detained in Iran, I think it was an interesting signal that Iran did not give them the Gitmo Abu Ghraib treatment.
Well, I mean, it would be hard to outstrip the kind of treatment that was given to U.S. detainees in Abu Ghraib and apparently to some extent in Guantanamo. Well, some of the same techniques were used. They were hooded at various times. They were subjected to sleep deprivation. But, of course, the Americans used these torture positions and they set dogs on them and
Sexual humiliation,
So forth. No, the British troops, they were not treated strictly in accord with the Geneva Conventions, but they were treated better than the Americans have treated some of their detainees. Yeah.
And how does that contrast with the single Iranian who was released in Iraq just prior to the release of the Brits by Iran, who claimed that he had been tortured?
Yes, this Iraqi detainee who it has alleged maybe an intelligence operative for Iran was captured. He has been released. He claims that he was tortured by the Americans. That's all very murky. First of all, we don't know exactly who captured him or even who released him.
Right.
It is alleged that it's Iraqis, and then he says it's Americans, and then he says he was tortured. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's hard to judge. I mean, it's entirely possible that the Iranian regime is, in the aftermath of the release of these sailors, is attempting to embarrass the United States, or it may be that he was actually tortured. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the Erbil Five? These are Iranians who were detained by the United States, and you, I think, accurately described them as having been kidnapped on your website.
These are individuals who were invited to Erbil by the president of the Kurdistan Regional Government. The Kurdistan Regional Government is recognized in the Iraqi Constitution as having a certain amount of autonomy. And I think it certainly, it gives out visas, by the way, and it certainly has the authority to invite these guests to Erbil. So if Masoud Barzani invited them there, they were there legitimately. And I do not understand under what provision of international law or the United Nations authorization for the U.S. to be in Iraq that the U.S. troops could just go up there and take these persons into custody. They had applied for consular status. They were in the process of making a consulate. So I think it's quite improper that they were taken into captivity. The United States maintains that they are intelligence agents. That wouldn't be so surprising. The U.S. embassies often provide cover to CIA personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is what authority the U.S. would have to take them into custody, and I don't see it myself.
And Professor Cole, your lead story today at juancole.com is about the remarkable breach of security in the Green Zone. And a suicide bomber was able to enter the cafeteria in the Parliament building, and eight people have been killed, 20 wounded, and two members of Parliament. Were they killed or wounded, the two members of Parliament?
They were killed.
They were killed. Okay. And what's the impact of this in your view?
Well, it's just another signal that the current Iraqi situation, the government, the society, the institutions are collapsing. And even before this occurred, Baghdad has been subjected to large numbers of bombings and mortar fire attacks. The areas around Baghdad, other cities like Baquba and elsewhere, have been extremely violent in recent weeks. The Green Zone had been an area that was supposed to be relatively secure. It never has been really secure because the guerrillas have always, all along, been able to lob mortar shells over into it. Usually they don't hit anything. But in this instance, a suicide bomb belt was smuggled in, and indeed there were others found last week and near the building this after this incident. It just shows that there's no place in Iraq that's really safe.
Well, that's a good point. And we have evidence in the pictures of Ban Ki-moon, the new UN Secretary General, was trying to stage a joint news conference with Maliki when an explosion went off just about 50 yards away. The day after, McCain took his heavily armed stroll through the Shorja market. 21 people were executed there by forces. I don't know exactly who it was. And Talifer, which is a town north of Baghdad that was held up as an example of the pacification and the transition to Iraqi control, that has blown up too. So when we look at these episodes, not just a single anecdote, it kind of shows that the so-called surge is not really doing much.
No, well, it's just not plausible, and nor would U.S. counterintelligence doctrine suggest that it's plausible that an extra 20 or 30,000 troops could provide security to an area. You're really talking the Sunni Arab areas are maybe 6 million, another 3 million in East Baghdad, and then 3 million around. You're probably talking 12 million people. You have 12 million people with a determined guerrilla group or set of groups amongst them, access to high explosives, access to money, long training in insurgency tactics in the Ba'ath Party, and you've got trouble. And then the likelihood that this trouble can be permanently taken care of by a surge in the U.S. troops seems to me low. They are being deployed in new ways. That Shorja market had been hit by bombs before, and now you can't drive near it. They've made it a pedestrian area, so they've cut down on the car bombing. But the guerrillas are adapting to this tactic, and so they're going to suicide bomb vests, and mm-hmm. individuals can often get off big bombs that way.
Yeah.
And that's almost impossible to stop.
We're going to take a break and return with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. Visit his website, Juan Cole, JUANCOLE.com, and get the latest information. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number if you'd like to join us on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. My guest is Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. And that's where my stepson's been accepted for graduate school in engineering next year. Hopefully he'll go blue. Professor Cole, I wanted to turn next to an item that you wrote that is published in the brand new issue. It just came in my mailbox yesterday of The Nation magazine, dateline April 23rd. With your ideas entitled How to Get the U.S. Out of Iraq. You write, "The key to preventing an intensified civil war is U.S. withdrawal from the equation so as to force the parties to an accommodation. The United States should announce its intention to withdraw its military forces from Iraq, which will bring Sunnis to the negotiating table and put pressure on Kurds and Shiites to seek a compromise with them. But a simple U.S. departure wouldn't be enough. The civil war must be negotiated to a settlement on the model of the conflicts in Northern Ireland and Lebanon." And you have some concrete steps that you outline for moving to a negotiated political settlement. First and foremost, many people believe that if the U.S. leaves, it will simply create a security vacuum and millions of Iraqis will die. Now, nobody can accurately predict exactly what will happen. But what are your thoughts about this worst-case scenario that McCain and Cheney and Bush now use to threaten us to keep the U.S. in Iraq for the foreseeable future?
Well, someone should ask Bush and Cheney why they destabilized the place in the first place.
Well, they never even acknowledge how we got into this mess. They simply say, you know, give us the money and we'll stay there until we decide to come home.
Yeah, I mean, they could go around invading lots of countries and throwing them into chaos and then arguing that we have to stay there forever and we'd end up with a nice big empire. But, you know, it's true that if the U.S. just up and left and pulled up stakes and came all the way back to the United States abruptly and left Iraq to its fate, it's possible that there would be large-scale violence. But we don't have to do it that way. I'm arguing that a sudden unilateral withdrawal is maybe undesirable, but there are other ways to withdraw. And one of the ways that you could withdraw is by negotiating a status quo that you leave behind that has some chance of holding up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that they don't say is that the U.S. has been there for 4 years, and every single one of the succeeding years has brought a higher intensity of warfare and violence than the previous year. So this is ratcheting up. It's an order of magnitude more in 2006 than it ever had been before. So our presence, it seems to me, is actually enabling a massacre. We think now something on the order of 600,000 innocent civilian Iraqis have been killed. So the staying the course option doesn't seem to me to be preventing the violence.
Mm-hmm. You call for new provincial elections, hoping that the Sunnis who boycotted the last round would get involved this time and actually become a part of the government. Is that realistic?
Well, there were Sunni parties who joined the December 2005 parliamentary elections, and in fact there are 58 Sunnis members of parliament in this parliament. The first elections that were held, there were only 17. So it has been proven that some Sunni Arab parties will run now and will get represented. And my concern is that there was never a second round of provincial elections. So the provinces are run by extremely unrepresentative individuals. In some instances, Sunni majority provinces are run actually by fundamentalist Shiites, which is a recipe for disaster. So I'm saying hold provincial elections, get representative provincial authorities with whom you could then negotiate a withdrawal of U.S. troops.
You also call for a conference of neighboring countries with the U.S. in the background. Is that a fair characterization?
Well, I call for two kinds of conference. One is, I think, the neighbors, the 6+2 kind of formula, where the neighbors and the United States and Britain meet and try to hammer out some solutions the neighbors can be helpful with. And this would include Iran and Syria. This was done with regard to Afghanistan at the Bonn Conference in December of 2001 and is widely viewed as a successful sort of formula. The other conference I called for would be led by Saudi Arabia, and that one I think the U.S. really should be in the background. But on the model of the Taif Conference of 1989 that ended the Lebanese Civil War, that these wars are inevitable, that people can do nothing about them, that they can't be negotiated to an end, all of those propositions are falsified by our experience with such conflicts. Most of them have ended by negotiated solutions, and I think this one could be as well. But I think the United States is actually interfering with the settlement of the Iraq war because it's strongly siding with the Shiites and the Kurds against the Sunnis, and it removes any reason for the Shiites and the Kurds to compromise with the Sunnis.
Mm-hmm. Read more about it at thenation.com or go ahead and pop a few bucks out and buy a copy of The Nation magazine for Professor Cole's article on how to get the U.S. out of Iraq. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
I've always been interested, especially in Tony Blair's complicity in this insanity, and feel that outside of our own stupid Congress are giving Bush the green light. The other big green light was having the U.K. so eagerly through Blair to be there, to be the other party. And I understand that Blair came to Washington, made a special trip in January 2002, and it's my suspicion he didn't just tell Bush he would assuredly have the UK with the US in a war on Iraq, but he probably urged Bush, assuming he needed any more urging, because I think he did the same thing with Clinton regarding the Balkan Wars.
All right, let's get a comment, Professor.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Tony Blair backed the Bush administration on these foreign adventures. He seems to have believed that it would be very dangerous for the future of NATO, for the U.S.-British alliance, to have the United States be on one side of an issue and everybody in Europe on the other side. I think he also falsely believed that he could be a moderating influence. Sir Christopher Meyer, the British ambassador in Washington, maintains that Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney intended to attack Iraq. after September 11th, and Mr. Blair convinced them to do Afghanistan first.
Professor Cole, thanks for your time today. Visit juancole.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Don Imus is fired by CBS.
These bastards, they went after me. They got me.
A deadly attack inside Baghdad's green zone.
The suicide bomber may have actually been the bodyguard of one of the Iraqi politicians.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. On the air this morning, Don Imus seemed to know what was coming.
One day you got a radio and TV show, and, well, next day you don't.
MSNBC had already announced the cancellation of the Imus simulcast on cable TV.
This afternoon, the other shoe dropped.
After hearing from Al Sharpton and many others, CBS has pulled the plug. Correspondent Nancy Cordes has more.
The pressure built and built until it was just too much.
It was our appeal to really have the second shoe of justice drop.
According to a statement from CBS President Les Moonves, he is terminating the Imus in the Morning radio show, effective immediately, saying, "I believe all of us have been deeply revulsed by the statements that were made on our air about the young women who represented Rutgers University."
Is Imus's career over? Tom Taylor, editor of the trade publication Inside Radio, isn't counting him out.
He has his pride. He's been in the business for a long, long time, and certainly he's been in and out of trouble before in dust-ups with various groups, but nothing like this. And it may well be that we'll be hearing from lawyers, and this thing could be floating around legal briefcases for a while. And then maybe he thinks about what else he wants to do. There are plenty of places to go.
Imus's last day on the air was a radiothon for his charities. He raised nearly $1 million in the first 5 hours. Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has all the ink, toner, and fax supplies your business needs, guaranteed in-store or online at low prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges at Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. See store for details.
At least 8 people were killed today, including 3 members of the Iraqi parliament, when a suicide bomber penetrated the security of the Green Zone. CBS News reporter Martin Seemungle has the story.
Inside one of the most heavily guarded buildings in the world, the Iraqi parliament concluded its morning session. And as parliament member Sheikh Jalaluddin al-Sagir was preparing to do an interview with a local television station, a suicide bomber detonated his explosive belt inside a busy parliamentary cafeteria. Thick dust shrouded the worst of the aftermath. The sanctuary of Baghdad's convention center, suddenly a death trap. Rescuers arrived to a scene of utter devastation.
According to an unconfirmed report, the bomber was working as a bodyguard for an Iraqi politician. Time magazine says Al-Qaeda in Iraq has claimed responsibility. In the uproar over the firings of eight U.S. attorneys, the White House is on the defensive again. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Don't ask spokeswoman Dana Perino what went wrong, but the White House lost emails that some of its officials sent using the computer system of the Republican National Committee.
I will admit it. We screwed up, and we're trying to fix it.
The emails were subpoenaed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and its chairman, Pat Leahy, doesn't buy the White House excuse.
I wouldn't want anybody to think these are lost emails. These are just emails they don't want to bring forward.
Leahy likened the lost emails to the mysterious 18-minute gap in the Nixon Watergate tapes. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports the district attorney who prosecuted those three Duke University lacrosse players was heard from today.
It's Mike Nifong's first public reaction to the dismissal of all charges in the Duke lacrosse case. In a written statement, the embattled prosecutor apologized to the three former Duke lacrosse players who were falsely accused. Nifong says he realizes their names, their reputations, have been damaged.
Nifong said, to the extent that I made judgments that ultimately proved to be incorrect, I apologize. New Jersey Governor John Corzine is hospitalized after a car crash on the Garden State Parkway near Atlantic City. CBS television station KYW in Philadelphia says Corzine suffered a broken leg and banged his head. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Now there's a weed and feed that not only helps you get more fun out of your lawn, it helps get more weeds out of your lawn. New Scott's Turf Builder Max Plus 2 with Crabgrass Preventer. Hi, this is Ashton Ritchie from Scott's. New Turf Builder Max is a revolution in weed and feeds. It has 50% more feeding power, kills dandelions, and, unlike ordinary weed and feeds, stops crabgrass all season. Apply New Scott's Turf Builder Max now for a great Scott's lawn without dandelions and without crabgrass.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our design print and ship depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. You can dial us up and talk on the radio whenever the urge strikes you, and as long as the First Amendment is still in full effect, our toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In about half an hour, we'll be joined by Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch. They have new information on the death toll of Iraqis in the war and occupation of Iraq. And it's somewhat disturbing, I'll warn you about that. But we will delve into it about a half hour away. First, we're joined by Scott Dick. He is our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines, then retired from the Army as a major. And he's with us usually every Thursday. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay today. And you?
I'm doing great.
Now, have you already turned down the offer to become President Bush's new war specialist? They're trying to avoid calling it a czar position, but that's what they seem to be describing.
Well, they wanted to take me out of retirement, but I'm happy right where I am. And, you know, I figure a major doing a four-star general job just leaves them open as a, you know, to give that as an excuse why we're going to fail in Iraq.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk
the
more.
The new war czar is too young to, you know, blow rank.
We'll talk more about that in a second. I want to introduce another guest who's with us, Nancy Lesson from MFSO.org, or Military Families Speak Out. Nancy, welcome to our program today.
It's great to be back.
Nice to talk with you. And thanks for all the work you do. It's a difficult struggle, and I know that probably some nights you're all worn out and loss of energy. But I hope, you know, contact with people like us helps to reinvigorate you for the difficult tasks you've taken on.
Absolutely.
Tell me your thoughts about the idea that the president wants to recruit somebody, as Scott said, maybe just to be a fall guy, somebody we can blame the problems in Iraq on. Doesn't this seem to be a very late move to restructure the management apparatus?
Well, actually, we have one of the members of Military Families Speak Out, the mother of a soldier, is going to be putting in her resume. She thinks that she is absolutely qualified for this job, and the very first thing that she will do is to bring all of our troops home quickly and safely and get them the care they need when they get home.
And who is the candidate? Has she gone public yet?
Not yet. She's in Utah.
Okay. Well, when she does, would you ask her to get in touch with us? And we'll certainly give her we'll give her a pre-hiring interview.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, putting aside the publicity value of that, I think it's worth pointing out that the views and voices of the families are still largely ignored by this administration. There was a Camp Casey over Easter once again as Cindy Sheehan and followers went to Crawford, Texas, again imploring the president just to give her 20 minutes to hear her perspective on what it's like to lose a son in this misguided war. Nancy, do you have a comment?
I think that what we're seeing is actually more and more activism from military and Gold Star families, from Iraq war veterans, and now with the appeal for redress from active duty troops themselves speaking out in greater numbers and louder voices. And I think that that is going to be part of the movement that we need to bring this war to an end. We don't need better management of an illegal, immoral, unjust, and unjustifiable and reckless military misadventure. We need it to end.
Yeah, well, I sure agree with you there. Now, Scott Dick, I wanted to turn to the announcement yesterday by Defense Secretary Gates that he has ordered an extra 3 months added to the tour of duty of most Army combat units serving in Iraq. There are a couple of exceptions related to reserves and National Guards. But this is a new definition of a one-year tour that lasts 15 months.
Oh, excuse me, Peter. Yeah, this has got to be devastating for the troops and their families. I know that a lot of units were already sent either early or held over, as it were. So now they're going to add 3 months to make it official. And it's hard on equipment, it's hard on the soldiers, it's hard on the family. And Peter, let me say something about the War Czar. I was pretty confident when I heard that they were talking about a new president, because he's the commander in chief. And by definition, he is the War Czar. So does that mean he realizes that he's incapable of doing this? Or does he think he's going to pass that responsibility off to somebody else? And without him, then we have the Secretary of Defense, who, under Dumsfeld, he couldn't get it done. And then we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, which is in charge of all the generals. So, see, he will, this new czar, will he be outside of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Will he be inside? I don't understand. It's ludicrous if you spend 1 minute thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree, and that's why I kind of moved on from it. But it's okay to add another comment there.
Sorry, a little delayed reaction. As far as that 15-month extension, and if you add stop-loss, the 3 months, the 90 days in front of that, and the 90 days behind that, what you're doing really is a person who is waiting to get out, and they just added a bunch of military medical MOSs, military occupational specialties, to that stop-loss program. You're really talking about 15 months plus 6 months, which is 21 months past the guy's contract, or a gal's contract.
Well, and it's interesting because Gates acknowledged in response to some questions that the Army is stretched. But he disputes the notion that it is broken. And, you know, no less than Jack Murtha, a distinguished Vietnam vet and a man who has great respect among uniformed members of every rank, has said flatly that our Army is broken. What's your take?
Well, it depends on your definition of broken. If there's not mass mutiny and mass desertion and a tremendous problem with discipline in garrison, not counting in combat, then the Army's not broken. But if you count the reenlistment rates, you know, I just read an interesting statistic. There's one recruiter in the National Guard who just scored $94,000 recruiting bonuses. So they're giving away not only money to the people that are re-upping the reenlistment, but for people who are recruiting, there's a tremendous amount of money out there, and the people are attracted to money. And so they're going to meet all their quotas, although I did see another a paragraph saying that over
over the last 3 years, 150,000 moral waivers have been granted to soldiers who otherwise wouldn't have been able to, or recruits who otherwise wouldn't have been able to go into the military because of their past misdeeds.
Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating.
Well, Scott, you mentioned the rate of desertion, and I happen to have an article here from Monday's New York Times, which says that the annual rate of Army prosecutions of desertion has tripled over the last few years to roughly 6% of deserters. So desertion is on the rise, and it certainly is creating a problem. Nancy Lesson, tell us from your point of view, the families of these service members who are already suffering and making great sacrifices, including serious injuries or, in some cases, a loss of life. How does this new policy impact the family members that you're in touch with, Nancy?
Well, first I want to say this was for us really the other shoe dropping, because when George Bush announced in January that there was going to be an escalation of the war, or this so-called surge of 20,000 or more troops, I think some people in the country might have thought, oh, 20,000 new fresh bodies for this. And what we knew as military families is, well, this is going to mean multiple deployments, more extensions, more stop loss, more reliance on National Guard and reserve forces. So we were just kind of waiting for the announcement, hoping that it wasn't going to come. When it did come, we heard Robert Gates say, you know, what we're trying to do here is provide some long-term predictability for the soldiers and their families. And what we know, what's going to be predictable, is that more of our loved ones are going to come home in flag-draped coffins. More of our loved ones are going to be seriously wounded. More of our loved ones are going to be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. More of our loved ones are going to be taking their own lives when they get home because of what they saw and what they did in a war that should never have happened. And more of our families are going to be damaged and destroyed.
And Nancy, react to this. Just about a week ago, the president was attacking the Democratic leaders of Congress for failing to give him the supplemental without any strings attached to it. And he said that if they don't give him a clean bill soon, that service members and families would be suffering due to longer deployments and these kinds of issues. And now, a week later, without any resolution to that bill and without additional money being appropriated, they're just going ahead and imposing the threat that the president said could have been avoided if the Congress had just given him a clean money bill.
I mean, first, what I want to say is they've been doing troop extensions since 2003. But one of the emails that we just got, this is from a family whose son is with the 3rd Infantry Division out of Fort Benning, Georgia, and he shipped off to Iraq in March. What they said is that they raised $12,000 in a week to purchase needed equipment for our son and his men before they left for deployment. Equipment included such things as weapons, cleaning kits, global positioning system for their Bradley, night scopes, night flashlights for their rifles, and desert socks. And this, right now, is going on. Families are buying needed equipment. So, you know, what I do want to say, what we want Congress to do is give this president no more money to continue the war in Iraq, and all of the money should be spent on bringing our troops home quickly and safely, and the care that they need when they get home. And we also think that money needs to go to the people of Iraq to help them build their infrastructure, rebuild what's been damaged. But that's what money needs to go for, and not one more penny for continuing an illegal and an immoral war.
That's Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out. Their website, mfso.org. Take a look at it. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment with Nancy Lesson and Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. If you have a question or a comment, now's the time to call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Had a very pleasant good afternoon. Let's take a look at the very latest. We're going to start off with a big problem out of San Jose, traveling out of that area, north on 880 at Bascom. A garbage truck caught on fire on the right shoulder. Crews still have the two right lanes blocked. In fact, this first was reported just about 1:30 this afternoon, and this has just been a major problem. Southbound traffic is slow from Great Mall Parkway. And we're going to remind folks that Monterey County delays possible in the vicinity of Laguna Seca Raceway, where the pre-events are already underway for this weekend's Sea Otter Classic bicycle racing. And drivers, of course, may see heavier than normal traffic on 68 Highway 1 and Canyon Del Rey. This report brought to you by Great America. Great America is open daily for spring break. Adults save $13 with a coupon for participating Carl's Jr.'s.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch will talk with us. New information on the deaths of Iraqi civilians and the way the U.S. military responds. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and also Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out. Visit their website, mfso.org. Nancy and Scott, a little more information on the announcement from Secretary Gates yesterday about the extension of tours of duty for GIs in Iraq and Afghanistan. Army National Guard and Army Reserves are supposed to be mobilized for no more than a year at a time. including 9 months in Iraq or Afghanistan under a policy that Gates announced in January. By ordering longer tours for all other Army units, the Pentagon will be able to maintain the current force levels for another year and still give soldiers a full year to rest, retrain, and re-equip, Mr. Gates said. The new policy calls for soldiers to receive a minimum of 1 year at home between tours. But, Scott, when I heard the secretary give that soundbite on television last night, he referred to that 1 year minimum at home as a goal, not a commitment.
Well, there you have it. I mean, there's nothing that the Army has like that in a regulation or an enforceable regulation. They'll do whatever they want to do. If they want to tell people they're going to be home for a year and then mobilize them after 10 months and actually put them on the trains to, move to the coast in 11 months and then, actually not move them overseas until the 12th month, and technically they've been home for 12 months. And they'll play those member games all day long. And these vets are professional. They're honorable men and women, and they're not going to complain. It's just, they're not going to complain out loud. They're going to complain to each other and to their families. And I am so happy that I'm not on active duty. I would be so frustrated and angry and disappointed. And people had travel plans this summer, and people are supposed to be home. And, if they're buying equipment for troops deploying, what's the refit part I don't get?
Yeah.
Re-equip part. They don't have money to re-equip anything. So I don't understand. It's a bunch of half-truths that, if you really look at them all together, turn out to be some really despicable kind of monumental exaggerations, if not outright lies.
Yeah. Nancy Lesson, Scott just described the anger he would feel if he were on active duty. What is the anger that you're hearing about from active duty service members?
Talking to our families whose loved ones are over there right now, first of all, it was a lot of times the family that notified their loved one that this was happening. The units were not even informed of this. They got the information today in some cases, but they heard it from their moms and their wives and from their families yesterday. So, that is just incredible disrespect. But I also want to pick up on this issue of, Gates saying he's doing this so that the soldiers can have, 1 year at home. I'll just read from one of the many, many emails we got. This is from a military wife on Fort Bliss in Texas whose husband is over in Iraq right now. She says, "And they say this will guarantee our troops to be home at least 1 year. We know that's BS." Oh, can I say that on the air?
Yes, you
we
can.
Know that's BS. Just read the provisions here. This is outrageous. Every military family knows that this has nothing to do with making sure that our loved ones are going to have a year between deployments, because that can change the next moment. But I also want to say, we as military families are not looking. Our goal isn't to have our loved ones well-equipped, well-rested, and well-trained to go off and fight and die in an illegal war, in a war based on lies. Our goal is to end this war.
Mm-hmm. And, Nancy, tell me how you respond to the president again threatening the Democratic Congress by saying that they are not supporting the troops by providing a funding bill with timelines and benchmarks that have to be met. When we take a look at this new extending tour of duties, it's an extension of the backdoor draft. To me, this is deplorable and unconscionable, and I don't see how the president can look at himself in the mirror and claim that he supports our troops.
Well, he certainly doesn't. I mean, first they were sent off to a war based on lies. Then they were sent off without proper armor, armored vehicles, equipment, food, and water, and we're seeing that 4+ years into the war. And then troops were, they come home, and the care that they haven't received has received a lot of attention now, between conditions at Walter Reed to the situation at VA hospitals where post-traumatic stress disorder is not being treated and suicides result. From the Vietnam days, the Vietnam veterans have a cadence that they march with, and one of the phrases says, "They wave the flag when you attack, when you come home, they turn their back." And we're absolutely seeing this. There's been no support for the troops out of this administration. But I also want to say, leaving our troops in Iraq, giving George Bush any money to continue this war, is also not support for our troops. Real support for our troops would be if Congress were to use their constitutionally given power of the purse and end the funding that allows this war to continue and earmark every dollar for the safe and orderly withdrawal of our troops, the care they need when they get home.
Nancy Lesson, very well put. I'm out of time here. Thank you for joining us today. Nancy Lesson, go to the website MFSO. That's MFSO.org, Military Families Speak Out. Scott Dick, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Will the activists take up the Duke LaCrosse case? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Civil rights activists took a leading role in the punishment of Don Imus, and they've been very effective. The Rutgers women's basketball team has now had more good press than the team that beat them, and Don Imus has had a very bad week. Now the question is, what about the Duke LaCrosse players? The now vindicated lacrosse players haven't aroused anywhere near the sympathy of the never-guilty basketball players, and yet what happened to them was much scarier. They could have gone to jail for 30 years over a made-up story, a made-up story that actually got them indicted by a grand jury. The Rutgers players were indicted by a shock jock who, influential though he may have been, can't lock people up. They also achieved vindication within a few days and are now seen as the athletes and scholars they are. The Duke players spent more than a year being defined as hooligans and rapists, but the community leaders who clamored for their prosecution have yet to apologize. I'm sure there are people who feel that even if they didn't do the rape, the Dukesters deserve the ordeal just for being elite lacrosse players who spent an evening leering at two strippers. But it was player Reed Seligman who nailed it.
If police officers and a district attorney can systematically railroad us with absolutely no evidence whatsoever, I can't imagine what they'd do to people who do not have the resources to defend themselves.
He now understands what black people have known for years. It reminds us that the problem with racism is the rush to judgment. And the only real antidote is the truth.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Bye.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in half an hour, we throw open the phone lines for you to comment on any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Yes, Don Imus has been fired again. I don't think they can fire him any more than this. But CBS Radio announced that it's over. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next hour in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But first, we want to take a bit of a grisly look at the situation in Iraq and the way the U.S. deals with civilians who are killed by American combat forces.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And joining us is Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch. Mark, thanks for taking time to talk with us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Peter. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. And I have to say that I am disturbed by the report that we're going to talk about, the way the U.S. Rather cavalierly deals with those who are caught in the crossfire and who are identified as casualties caused by American forces. Can you give us a sense of the dimensions of this, or at least what the Pentagon is willing to admit to in terms of the number of cases over the last couple of years?
Sure. Well, you know, first we have to say that clearly the number one cause of civilian casualties today in Iraq is the activity of the insurgents. But the problem is we don't really have an idea of the cost of civilians to American activity. But recently the ACLU contacted us stating that they had received a copy of a Freedom of Information Act request from the Pentagon that gave them a glimpse into what is going on as far as the U.S. compensation claim system. And it showed that in about 500 cases, there were a number of Iraqi claims for compensation for deaths at the hands of American soldiers in a variety of incidents. And there were also some cases where there was property damage that was compensated.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really only a tiny snapshot into what there is. It's only from Army units. It did not cover units of the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really are only scraping the top. I could not even begin to tell you what the overall cost is.
Yeah. And so, as you pointed out, just under 500 cases, there were 496 files that the ACLU released from its FOIA request. And the documents show 164 incidents resulted in cash payments to family members. So while we, of course, are not there and can't imagine that we can judge these individual cases, it seems that only about a third of them actually result in some form of compensation.
That's right. Only about a third of them are resulting in compensation. But the reason that that's happening right now is because the system that is in effect is completely not able to cope, nor is it really the correct one for the situation. What they're using is the Foreign Claims Act, and the Foreign Claims Act was set up during the Second World War to compensate civilians for loss due to U.S. actions that were non-combatant in nature. So if there was a death, an injury, or property damage, but it was a non-combatant, let's say an automobile accident, for example, then the U.S. military would compensate. Well, the problem is, in Iraq, there is ongoing hostilities. And so anytime an Iraqi is injured in a combat action, these claims are immediately denied. And so you have a large number of Iraqi claims that are immediately denied. Now, there is a system by which the local commanders can dole out a condolence payment of $2,500. But because there's no uniformity, we have a situation right now where some Iraqis are getting money for certain instances, and some are getting nothing. And you may have the exact same type of casualty in the exact same type of situation. But if one judge advocate general, which is a military lawyer, decides compensation needs to be paid, they'll receive it. But if another in the same situation doesn't believe there should be compensation, it won't be. You see, it's not uniform.
Mm-hmm. And also, I have to say that I'm looking at a file. It's a copy of a letter that was written on the 12th of March, 2005, from the Department of the Army, Office of the Command Judge Advocate, 116th Brigade Combat Team, 42nd Infantry Division, Kirkuk. Kirkuk, Iraq, and it has an APO address there. And this is partly redacted, which means they took a Sharpie and blacked out things that they didn't want us to see. So we don't know exactly who this was written to. It says, Mr. Blank, I have considered your claim, and closed, under the Foreign Claims Act, Title 10, United States Code, Section 2734, as implemented by Army Regulation 27-20, Chapter 10. Next paragraph. Your claim is denied. The Foreign Claims Act does not authorize payment of claims related to combat activities, nor of claims where U.S. negligence cannot be established. Your claim states that you were driving your vehicle near the Tikrit Circle and were hit by a coalition forces vehicle. The U.S. cannot pay your claim due to the lack of evidence showing U.S. negligence. I am sorry for your inconvenience, and I wish you well in a free Iraq.
Yeah, it does certainly point to a certain level of, perhaps callousness, but certainly they're not very savvy with the way you should be treating people. But the more important thing is you've really raised a problem that they have there, is that if an Iraqi comes in with a claim and they have witnesses to an incident, that does not matter if there is no coinciding American database incident report.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when there are Americans in the field and they are involved in combat or in a car accident or whatever, they're supposed to file an incident report into this database. And so unless an American files this and people can't find it, then the claim is just summarily denied. And the problem is we've seen a number of these cases where even Iraqi soldiers or Iraqi police come forward as witnesses. And it seems that Iraqi witness statements are just not valued by the U.S. military for these claims, and only their own databases. And the databases are incomplete. You have to understand, these kids are involved in combat. The last thing they want to do is go back to base and fill out some paperwork.
Yeah, I can understand.
And so
that.
The result is you've got Iraqis not getting what they should be getting.
Well, and it's not just people who don't like to do paperwork, Mark. It also is an issue where American troops figure they can get away with it. They don't want to turn themselves in and report an incident that might cost them a disciplinary action or some other sanction when they can say, hey, if I don't file this, it's their word against mine and I win.
Well, there certainly is that possibility, and you know, we always hope that that doesn't happen, but I'm certain that there are incidents like that. But there are also incidents that are the opposite way, in which you see American soldiers, attending a funeral, writing in these claims saying, we did this, we apologize, we feel terribly for it. I mean, at least they're showing that level of care for it. It's difficult for me to say, you know, my cousin just returned from Tikrit just last week. He was there for a year. And, I'm in a very strange position where I have strong feelings about the war and strong feelings about how people are treated there and also have family members in the area. And so, you know, you try to digest that, and certainly it's not an easy thing, but you raise a very valid point. These databases are incomplete, they're not adequate, and there has to be a more uniform system of paying Iraqis for the damage and the injuries and deaths that are incurred by U.S. soldiers.
We're talking with Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, you can call in now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mark, last week we interviewed Jeremy Scahill. He's a reporter for Democracy Now!, and he's published a powerful new book all about Blackwater and its mercenary operations in Iraq. And in your press release today, describing this civilian casualty issue, one of the things you touch on is the relative impunity of American paid contractors. Those who are armed appear to be all U.S. citizens, but many of the contractors to Blackwater, Khaki, KBR, and others are non-U.S. nationals. And the Coalition Provisional Authority under Paul Boots Bremer left behind a series of edicts, one of which gives a very broad, sweeping type of immunity to the contractors who are armed, and it makes them above any kind of disciplinary action under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. it also puts them beyond the reach of civilian courts in Iraq. So these are a new class of mercenaries who can operate without accountability to almost anyone.
You're absolutely right, and this is an issue that Human Rights Watch has raised since the beginning of the war with the United States government and military, something we're very concerned with, particularly because they exist in a legal limbo, kind of a legal black hole with international law. And when we look at the compensation that you and I are just speaking about, these hired guns are not covered by this compensation system. And so certainly there are civilians killed by these mercenaries, and yet they are unable to go to the U.S. and say, my family was killed or we had a loss of property, please pay us. These are summarily denied because the Foreign Claims Act only covers employees of the U.S. government, and contractors are not considered to be employees of the U.S. government, even though there is a contract in effect.
Well, and we now, under the Rumsfeld reorg at the Pentagon, the mercenary troops, the contractors number is as high as 100,000 or more. Some of those are service personnel who are driving trucks and working in the kitchen and cleaning the latrines and that sort of thing. But many of them, as many as 40%, according to Jeremy Scahill, are armed military, they're veterans of our own military in most cases, and they came out of often elite special forces, rangers or SEALs or those sorts of units. And it's just amazing that to date we haven't done anything to come up with a comprehensive scheme that gives us accountability and oversight over these troops. And the way the Pentagon now does it, Blackwater considers itself part of the uniformed military forces of the United States.
It really is a shadow army. If you look at the numbers like you brought up, we are only seeing on the ground, you know, the number of American soldiers, but you can almost double that to try to figure out how many troops are really on the ground. I mean, that's how many we're dealing with here. And because of the lack of current international law affecting these individuals, they basically have total impunity and can do what they want. I mean, there are a number of incidents that have been reported of them driving down highways, just spraying down cars to get them out of their way. And this is something that if American soldiers did, we would expect some sort of action against them because it's a violation of at least the rules of engagement, if not international humanitarian law. And yet these contractors are basically allowed to do what they want. They have a blank check of action in Iraq.
Yeah. One of the most egregious cases that I've heard of, I can't name this individual, but I believe he was a Blackwater employee. And his tour of duty was almost up, and he hadn't shot his weapon or killed anybody. And so a couple of days before he was supposed to leave Iraq, he went on a kind of joyride and was just killing people on a random basis.
Well, I have to say one of the problems that we have in Iraq right now is because of the security vacuum. Organizations like Human Rights Watch and other human rights organizations are not able to go around and do the work we normally do to bring to light these kind of violations and really put these people to the task. You know, Human Rights Watch has not had a real presence on the ground since the UN was bombed. We've operated in northern Iraq, but really have not gotten into the country, and most other organizations are not there. And so, you know, this lack of security in some way provides a buffer to these individuals.
Yes, it does. We're talking with Mark Garlasco from Human Rights Watch. Their website is hrw.org, hrw.org. As we continue, we'll talk about some of the other issues related to Iraqi casualties that surface as a result of this Freedom of Information Act request by the ACLU. And we'll also talk about some proposals that Human Rights Watch is putting forward to create greater accountability for these issues on the part of our government and in particular those contractors we were just talking about. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, too. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's a piece.
people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and tell you what's going on. We're going to let you know that we do have a problem. It's we're still going to talk about San Jose because it's a pretty big accident. It's regarding a truck fire northbound 880 at Bascom Avenue. The two right lanes have been shut down since 1:30. The problem is traffic is extremely gridlocked. It's backed up down 280, and southbound traffic is slow from Great Mall Parkway. Don't forget, big problems are delayed. Here in Monterey, the vicinity of Laguna Seca Raceway, where the pre-events have already begun for this weekend's Sea Otter Classic. Drivers may see heavier than normal traffic on Highway 68, Highway 1, and Canyon Del Rey. The sport brought to you by Standard Pacific Homes. Selvel and Greenville have its closing celebration, and there are only 10 homes remaining. This is your last opportunity.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up next hour, lots of your phone calls in the free speech zone. And we're going to find out why bees are dying in large quantities in California's Central Valley and how it can affect the food supply. We're talking with Mark Garlasco. He's with Human Rights Watch, and their website is hrw.org, where you can log on and get information about these documents that were squeezed out of the government under the Freedom of Information Act by the dreaded ACLU. And, Mark, you may or may not know this, because I know ACLU did the FOIA request, but did you see in the news in the last 24 hours that the FBI has said that they're going to work on the FOIA request related to domestic spying and get back to the people who've requested it within 5 years? They've given them a deadline of 2013 to respond to that request.
Well, I wonder if George Bush will be around as president then. I'm not sure. But let me just say to your listeners, go to the ACLU's website. You can get these documents and read them for yourself. And they are shocking. They really are.
And that's at ACLU.org/civilian casualties. I'll repeat that, ACLU.org/civilian casualties. Now, Mark, one of the issues that this brings up is whether or not the U.S. is keeping any records of civilian casualties in Iraq. Learning off the lessons, the negative lessons of Vietnam, Rumsfeld seemed determined to keep no records so that we wouldn't have a weekly body count showing up in the media here in the United States. But this FOIA request indicates that at least to some extent, the American military in Iraq is keeping track.
Yeah, we first had an inkling of this back in October of last year when there was a report to Congress by the military that showed the number of civilian casualties at the hands of the insurgency was rising. And so we thought, well, if you know how many casualties there are at the hands of the insurgency, what about at the hands of American soldiers? And now we see that they are keeping these records. And these records are terribly important. The U.S. military has always said two things about record keeping of civilian casualties. One, we can't do it. And two, it's really useless. Well, the first thing is we now know they can do it because they are. And secondly, there's a lot of utility in it. They can get lessons learned from it. And they've shown, we were just speaking to the military recently about the checkpoint issue, or a number of civilian checkpoints. And they've been able to use this data to see what was going wrong at checkpoints and institute changes. And over the last year now, numbers of deaths at checkpoints have dropped. We'd like to see this data across the board. One of the big problems in the FOIA documents show that there are a lot of people being killed as convoys go by. Convoys will drive by, and the soldiers will shoot out into the towns, the villages, and into traffic. And this kills a lot of civilians. Well, this is something the U.S. can use the data to improve their practices.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mark, also, Human Rights Watch has issued a call, basically four bullet points here, for the U.S. government and the armed forces. Let me just read them off and you can comment on them. Create uniform standards for determining compensation claims for civilian casualties in Iraq caused by coalition forces, and make public all data collected on the deaths of Iraqi civilians at the hands of coalition forces, including contractors.
Yeah, you know, this system is existing in a very poor state right now. There is absolutely no reason that the military cannot correct it. And they have to include those killed at the hands of contractors. And that information, once it is known, will provide us an important window into what exactly is going on with the conduct of the contractors. And, you know, completely separately, it's really time for the U.S. to rein them in and place them under international law.
Well, I'd like to see them removed altogether. And next point is not to automatically disqualify claims for deaths which are not entered into the database you described, the Significant Actions database, where American troops essentially turn in a report of the incidents they've caused or encountered.
That's right. You know, just because something is not in a database doesn't mean it didn't happen. And if you have Iraqi witnesses stating that it happened, then you really need to take these as important pieces of information and factual information, because just because they're Iraqis does not mean that they're lying. And it's something that we face in many countries around the world. Whenever we take witness statements, governments and militaries will tell us, well, we cannot trust that ethnic group or that organization. And the problem is that is just wrong, it's inaccurate, and it must be changed.
Investigate civilian deaths at the hands of contractors and create effective means of holding contractors to account. We talked about that.
Seems like we keep coming back to the contract.
Yep. And use the civilian casualty data to apply lessons learned that will enhance civilian protections, like you just pointed out at the checkpoints. That is a good use of the information. Not all of this data collection would be used by people like me to try to embarrass the United States government. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, Bruce, I find what is going on, what you've been speaking of, the contract soldiers and their abuses, is totally consistent with what this administration is all about. It is to misuse and abuse their powers, to hide it, to conceal it, to deny it. No accountability, control through fear and terror tactics. I think that's what it's all about with these guys. They're criminals.
Mark, do you have a comment?
Well, you know, I've got to say that we at Human Rights Watch have now for a long time been calling on the Bush administration to rein the contractors in. So you're preaching to the choir on that one. Hopefully that's going to happen. I don't have a lot of hope for it, but, you know, perhaps with the new administration we'll see some really strict rules put into place. And hopefully we're not going to have a situation where in the next war it's fought completely by proxy by some kind of a corporate soldier on the ground.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully Henry Waxman at Oversight and Government Reform will continue his investigative efforts. And I believe this is one of the issues he's looking into. Do you know if that's true?
I don't know, but, you know, we know that Senator Leahy, we've been working with him on a number of issues. He's very, very interested in civilian casualties, the civilian casualty database. And, you know, now that we've got a change with the Democrats in, I think we're going to see some of these issues come to the fore as soon as some of the current budget discussions are taken care of.
Okay. And, Mark, just in about 30 seconds, is there anything related to these issues that we didn't cover that you want to mention?
I just would like to say that, you know, the soldiers in Iraq are facing a very difficult situation that the Bush administration has put them in. It's terrible that we've done this to our children, but many of them are trying to do right by making these payments and taking care of the Iraqis that they're guarding. The problem is the current administration and set of rules that these soldiers have been placed there to operate with are incomplete, so there needs to be change.
Mark Garlasco, Human Rights Watch, HRW.org.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Imus in the morning.
Millions of radio listeners will be spending mornings without Don Imus and his caustic brand of humor. CBS has canceled his syndicated show permanently with an apology to Rutgers University and its women's basketball team. It's a victory for Al Sharpton, who led the campaign to have Imus fired and met today with CBS President Leslie Moonves.
This from the beginning, from the National Association of Black Journalists to the National Action Network, was never about Don Imus. It was about the misuse of the airwaves.
It's a swift fall for a major talent. Michael Harrison is publisher of Talkers Magazine, which covers talk radio.
Imus stepped into one of those perfect storms when a number of social pressures and social sensitivities, political sensitivities too, were all reaching a critical point.
Jeff Greenfield, soon to be CBS News senior political correspondent, was a frequent guest on the Imus show and says this might not be the final act.
He's come back from drug addiction and alcohol. I have a feeling we may not have heard the last of him, assuming he wants to come back. We'll see.
The Baghdad Green Zone's illusion of security was shattered in a bloody way today. A suicide bomber somehow got through the heavily fortified perimeter and detonated powerful explosives inside the Iraqi parliament's cafeteria.
As soon as this bomb went off, security people descended on the area, and there is a lot of security around that green zone, which just highlights the fact that this was such an incredible security breach.
CBS News reporter Martin Seemungle says there's an unconfirmed report that the bomber was working as a bodyguard for an Iraqi politician. At least eight people, including three members of parliament, were killed. President Bush denounced the attack and said it shows the need to support the young Iraqi democracy. This is Senator John McCain.
We are pleased with some of the progress that has been made already, but recognizing it's very long and very tough and very difficult, as exemplified today by the explosions in the Green Zone. Suicide bombings are very, very difficult to counter.
He was blasted yesterday by North Carolina's Attorney General. Today, the DA who prosecuted the Duke University lacrosse players broke his silence.
Mike Nifong's first public reaction to the dismissal of all charges in the Duke lacrosse case comes in a written statement. He offers an apology, bitterly rejected by a defense lawyer, to the three former Duke lacrosse players falsely charged with rape. Nifong says he realizes the harm they've suffered.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula. A car crash has sent New Jersey Governor John Corzine to the hospital, but a spokesman says his injuries are not considered life-threatening. The price of oil rose nearly $2 a barrel today to $63.85, but the stock market also rose. The Dow up 68 points to 12,552. The Nasdaq closed 21 points higher at 2480. This is CBS News.
Now there's a weed and feed that not only helps you get more fun out of your lawn, it helps get more weeds out of your lawn. New Scotts Turf Builder Max Plus 2 with Crabgrass Preventer. Hi, this is Ashton Ritchie from Scotts. New Turf Builder Max is a revolution in weed and feeds. It has 50% more feeding power, kills dandelions, and, unlike ordinary weed and feeds, stops crabgrass all season. Apply New Scotts Turf Builder Max now for a great Scotts lawn without dandelions and without crabgrass.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
The message that came from Capitol Hill today is that the danger of contaminated pet food might not be completely over. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
FDA veterinarian Stephen Sunloff told a Senate hearing they found what tainted the pet food.
Wheat gluten, which was contaminated with melamine.
And though most of the suspect food has been recalled,
we know that there's not 100% of the product off the shelf.
The advice is to double-check your pet food against the FDA website list. But Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin wondered,
have you gone to your website to try to find out which pet food is contaminated?
Yes.
And did you have any difficulty?
I admit I did.
The senator suggested immediate improvements in the layout of FDA.gov. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
CBS News has learned that the wheat gluten used in pet food was human grade, and it's only a matter of luck that it wasn't used in people food. Federal health officials have been looking for increases in human kidney failure, but say they've seen nothing unusual. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has all the ink, toner, and fax supplies your business needs, guaranteed in-store or online at low prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges at Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot.
Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Strange weather.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're launching into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome this hour. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38 and then 573-8372. We'll get to your calls in a couple of minutes. I know a lot of people are dying to talk about the latest firing of Don Imus. Yep, he got fired again by CBS Radio today. But first, I want to take a moment to talk about something that astounded me when I first heard about it about a week ago on a news report on public television's NewsHour about what's called CCD, Colony Collapse Disorder, and it's affecting the bee population in this country and particularly here in California's Central Valley. We get some comments and information from somebody who knows a lot more about bees than this Peter B. does. He is Orrin Johnson, Vice President of the California State Beekeepers Association and a commercial beekeeper in, near Modesto. Orrin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yeah,
Yes, thank you.
Nice to talk with you.
And one correction, I'm currently the president of the California Bee Association, not vice president.
Well, we're going to have to correct that.
Thank you.
You got promoted.
Yes, I did.
And is that an honor, or with a crisis underway, is that a bit of a liability?
It just happened to be my turn in line to do my duty. My father was president of the same organization in 1957, so I kind of got roped into the job this year.
Yeah. Well, Oren, tell us the dimensions of this. This appears to be a massive and, in many cases, inexplicable die-off of bees.
Oh, yes. This started actually in the fall, November, December. Discovered kind of in the East Coast. Beekeepers that run the East Coast from Maine to Florida winter their bees in the November, December, January in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
After they moved them and went back to check them, a lot of the bees had died or disappeared. It initially was called disappearing bee disease because the hive was full of honey, pollen, everything looked normal, but the bees were gone.
Oren, I'm sorry to do this, but we've got a lot of noise on this phone line, so I'm going to talk here for a minute and ask Brian just to dial you right back so that we can hear you better, because it's just real fuzzy, and I can't crank it up any higher. So, Brian, please call Oren right back, and we'll get him on just as soon as we can here in a moment. And while we're waiting to reconnect, I'll just give you a little bit more background information. Of course, bees are very critical to the pollination of many plants, crops, feed crops, things ranging from almonds to oranges to alfalfa that, of course, is fed to livestock. And the beekeeping industry is very interesting in this country. They move bees around basically as studs to come in and do their duty every year. And, of course, agriculture is a major industry here in California. And without the bees, we could be in very deep doo-doo. Oren, we've got you back, and I can already tell there's less noise on the line. Thanks. So give us a sense. You said this started along the East Coast, and when did this first become evident in California?
Well, I don't know if it started on the East Coast. That's where it was first discovered. A lot of beekeepers throughout the Midwest, upper Midwest, the Dakotas, Minnesota, ship their bees to California for the winter to get them out of the cold country.
Mm-hmm.
Then they don't come to California to check them or prepare them for the almond bloom until January. This is when they started discovering a lot of losses also.
Uh-huh.
They had probably disappeared earlier or died off earlier, but they started discovering them in January, and it continued right through almond bloom for some people.
And we've ruled out thievery, right? There aren't a bunch of people who come in the dead of night and steal your bees?
No. On this particular CCD, no, that's not the case.
Okay. And tell us how critical this is. Are we at risk that certain crops in California will not get properly pollinated because of the loss of these bees?
I don't know if we can go as far to say that yet, because this was an excellent spring weather-wise during the almond bloom. A lot of the poorer colonies of bees got healthy. Nothing makes a bee hive healthier than a natural nectar and pollen flow.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these poor hives or weak hives astoundingly turned it around 180 degrees and are now healthy and going, if they hadn't completely died. Beekeepers are now in the process of making divides or splitting their colonies and making new colonies. Most beekeepers have what they call a high and low number. During the summer, you have a peak number of colonies that you run, and natural attrition, and now this colony collapsed. By the spring, about pollination time here in California, February 1st, you're generally at your low in your numbers. For instance, if you ran 1,000 colonies, you may only have 700 by February 1st.
Now, Orrin Johnson, I'm looking at a report here from the Christian Science Monitor about the CCD, Colony Collapse Disorder, and one of the theories they raise, or at least one of the vulnerabilities they describe, is that in the United States we appear to be dependent on one culture of bees. They describe it as a monoculture. Tell us about this, and do you think that that makes us vulnerable to this kind of a crisis?
No, I don't believe so. The problems we're having with this colony collapse are manyfold. It is not, I don't believe it will be identified as any one cause. The base cause of most problems with honeybees currently in the U.S. and in most parts of the world are the Varroa mite.
So it's a mite, M-I-T-E.
We have been fighting for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The mite, if you don't keep it under control, spins off viruses, many viruses that the bees can get.
I see.
This is your, and now if you have problems there, the bees aren't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're not healthy, they're susceptible to any and everything that comes down the pipe.
Now, Orrin, what about the theories related to genetically modified crops? Has this and the use of GMO-linked pesticides like Roundup, has this combination of pesticides and GMO seeds and crops, in your view, created a problem?
I can't say it's created a problem. It's definitely being looked at by the bee research community. They're looking at pesticides, GMOs. A lot of the newer pesticides contain a nicotinoid, nicotine derivative,
mm-hmm.
that makes insects get lost, become disoriented. And it's definitely a possibility, but it's not something any of myself or any beekeeper's willing to say, yeah, it's this one thing yet. We're leaving that up to the research community to try to come up with these answers.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, what are the risks to this season in California? Have we gotten sufficient pollination? Are these studs performing?
At this point, we're in pretty good shape. The almond pollination, which is now over, requires between 65% and 70% of all the transportable beehives in the United States.
Wow.
So during February, March, and part of April, all of those beehives from all over the country are here in California. Then they start going home once the almond bloom is done. But the acreage of other crops that require bees is not as great as almonds. So there generally is a sufficient supply to take care of those other crops.
And is there going to be a ripple effect from this year's decimation of the bee population? How long will it take to rebuild? And therefore, next year, will we be able to properly pollinate the almonds?
Oh, we can rebuild quickly. You can split a hive and put a new queen in that hive, and you're off and running in very short order in a matter of a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your numbers, colony numbers, back up, but there's quite a cost associated with doing that. But then what's around the corner this winter, this summer, or this fall? Right now, we've had here in California an extremely, extremely dry winter.
Right.
And myself, I'm already feeling the effects of that. I was out today feeding some of my colonies because normally if we have sufficient rain, there are a lot of, in the foothills around the valley, there's a lot of spring flowers and mustards and fiddleneck and different sources of pollen and nectar. This year, it does not exist. The hills to the west of the Central Valley are extremely dry right now, and there is little or no forage there for the bees, so mm-hmm. we have to supplemental feeding.
And, Orrin, what about the production of honey in California this year? Will it be reduced?
At this point, I would have to think so, yes. With excellent or heavy rains during the winter, we generally get good spring honey production, which would be citrus and sage. This year there will be little or no sage.
Mm-hmm.
Citrus has other issues. It could be pretty good, but then we move into our irrigated crops for honey production, so it just depends on how the water supply and what gets planted.
Well, Orrin Johnson, thanks for taking the time to update us on this situation. Can we check back with you in a month or so?
Oh, you bet.
We'll do that. Thank you for talking with us. That's Orrin Johnson. He's been promoted. He's president of the California Beekeepers Association. And that's a very interesting development. I learned about it first last week and wanted to share that with you, our listeners. We're going to take a break and then head into the free speech zone. So grab a line. You want to talk about IMUS? You want to talk about the death count in Iraq and the way we treat Iraqi civilians who are killed? You're welcome to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
And everybody, let's take a look at traffic. Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, no problems to report on 17, so we're going to get that right out of the way. We are going to tell you that in Carmel Valley Road at Kenyatta, we do have a solo vehicle that went into a ditch. It's on the right shoulder. A tow truck is en route. And Boulder Creek Highway 9 at Lorenzo, we have an injury crash. It's a solo vehicle that went off the roadway and landed into a ditch. Paramedics and fire department on scene there. Also want to take a look at Carmel, Highway 1 at Carpenter Street. We have an accident reported there and CHP on scene. Southbound 1 at 129 Riverside. That is in Watsonville. We have a solo spin out. It's on the right shoulder. Well, Seville in Greenfield is having its closing celebration. There's only 10 homes remaining. This is your last opportunity. Even the beautiful model homes are for sale. Call 831-674-1021 or visit SevilleGreenfield.com. That's traffic on KRXA.
Allen Show continues. It's 23 minutes after the hour. We're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for you right now, and your comments on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know the number.
Call Elvis. Call Elvis.
And in case you don't know the number, like Elvis, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Just before we went on the air at 3 o'clock Pacific today, I got an email from one of my radio trade tip sheets announcing that CBS Radio has decided to can Don Imus. Tomorrow, I guess, will be his last day as he concludes his duties in a radiothon that he's doing to raise money for a couple of the charities that he's supported over the years. And so if you've been dying to comment on this and you haven't had a chance yet, feel free to give me a call. I think that the story is somewhat over, but you may have some thoughts or comments about the way it was covered, the way it was overcovered in many respects, and how it pushed out more important stories from the news coverage this week. And there may be other things that you want to talk about, and you're welcome to do so. Professor Juan Cole was with us earlier today from the University of Michigan talking about how to get the U.S. out of Iraq. And I think we heard some pretty powerful comments from Nancy Lesson of Military Families Speak Out about the announcement of the new 15-month, one-year tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan announced by Secretary Gates yesterday. One other thing I want to throw into the mix, then we'll go to your calls. You may have noticed that the members of the Duke lacrosse team who were accused of rape have been completely exonerated. All charges have been dropped, and the new district attorney has said that this is the end, case closed, no further proceedings will take place. And I think it's important to point this out because of the tabloid-style coverage that virtually convicted at least three of these guys on national television. And this is a case where Nancy Grace and Greta Van Susteren and these other people who play court TV on television need to fess up and acknowledge that they went too far and that they tried this case in the media before all the evidence had been examined and evaluated. And we see it again. The amount of ink spilled, the amount of TV coverage devoted to the Duke lacrosse team and the rape allegations far, far, far exceeds the coverage of their innocence. And while we didn't exploit that case and barely talked about it on this program, I'd like to do my part to bring to your attention that they have been declared innocent and all the charges have been dropped. Now to your calls. Bob's on the line from North Carolina. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the Peter
hello,
B. Collins Show.
How's Monterey these days? I haven't been there in 30 years.
Well, we're doing okay out here in California. It's springtime, although we've got a little bit of a cold front moving through. It's sunny, but the breeze has been chilly today.
Well, when are they going to fire Michael Savage?
I don't know, but I'll be happy to throw a party when they do.
Yeah, give me a call, and I'll come out there if I can make it. listen, I wanted to call about the bees and throw a little just a general announcement to people mm-hmm. everywhere. And I realize that the threat to bees are a bit more widespread, but I would recommend to everybody who most everybody uses 7 solution. You know what I mean? 7, a chemical named 7.
Yeah, I've seen that.
7.5%. It kills bees.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just I have used it when I was gardening, and I read the instructions on it and found out that it's very deadly to bees. And I'd just like to recommend to remind everybody to be very, very careful using that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main point.
Okay. Now, are you aware of any bee problems on the East Coast?
Oh, yes. It's just as it's nationwide. It's just as bad over here as it is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what crops are affected other than, does tobacco require pollination?
Well, tobacco is kind of on the wane. The tobacco isn't such a big deal anymore, but bees, the bees in general, and I can't really, I'm not familiar with crops particularly, but I'm certainly reading my news reports about the bees, and the bees are dying everywhere. There's no doubt about that. What was it, several years ago, it was a mite, some kind of
right, that's parasite. That's what Oren was telling us about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't hear it all. I just caught the last 10 minutes or so.
Well, I do apologize. We had a very rough connection to Modesto, and we tried a second time. And,
I have to listen to you online. I don't get you over the air here anymore.
Well, but even still, the audio coming out of the phone just wasn't loud enough. Thanks a lot for your call today, Bob.
Yeah, I would like to, again, everybody uses 7 solution, probably
right.
7.5%.
So stop. Give us a call, toll free, 888-5, Peter B. It's the Free Speech Zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Of international use, the American medical profession is finally realizing the great value of essential oils. That's why the FDA has reclassified them as new OTC drugs. You need to protect your right to use this sacred medicine. Native Health's sacred copal is that protection. Essential oils delivered from a traditional Native American basis. Call 1-866-972-3461 and ask for information on protecting your sacred right to heal.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait, No, no, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This land is your land. This free speech zone is your free speech zone. All my lines are open right now, so what's holding you back? Give me a call, toll free. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There's no shortage of things to talk about. One of the things we've talked about today is the situation related to Alberto Gonzalez, the U.S. attorney scandal, and the use of emails or email accounts that were not official White House email accounts. We know that some were set up at GWB43.com. Others were at the Republican National Committee. And we learned earlier today when Christy Harvey joined us from the Center for American Progress that as many as 5 million emails have been lost or misplaced, according to the White House. Now, let's all think about this together. Because most of us have email, right? Some of us have way too much email. And you probably know that when you delete an email, it doesn't really get completely deleted. It is removed from the window that you're looking at. But most computers save every email that comes in. And forensically, there are people who can dive into your hard drive and dig out emails that you think you have deleted. And this is an important message to anyone who uses email on a regular basis, because as soon as you hit that key, the return key that sends an email, you have lost control of that message. Even if there's only a single recipient, when it gets there, that person could forward it to as many people as he or she wants to. They can make multiple copies. They can save it in various places. And even if you delete the email that you sent, it's possible for somebody to go into your hard drive later and dig it out. And so we heard earlier today the outraged remarks of Senator Pat Leahy of Vermont, who ridiculed the White House, saying that this is like the 18-and-a-half-minute gap in the Nixon tapes that was blamed on Secretary Rosemary Woods back about 1973. And he flatly said, Leahy, I don't believe the White House. And he's an older guy. He's probably not that tech-savvy. But if he's like me, he's got a kid who knows it all. And explained to him, Dad, you know, those emails never actually go away. And Debbie dropped me an email. And keep in mind, Debbie, that this email was probably intercepted by the National Security Agency, and it's on file there somewhere. She said, I only heard a portion of your interview with the lady from the Center for American Progress. Did she really say that over 5 million emails have been deleted by the White House? She did. And then I made a joke about it, Debbie, and I said, well, based on my experience, about 4.8 million of those were spam. with offers of cash from Nigeria, penis enlargement, dates with beautiful women, and all that kind of stuff. So then Debbie, who emailed me, said, did she say where she got that information? And I do not recall that Christy Harvey cited a specific source. So I don't know. I can't tell you what the source of that was. Debbie goes on to say, I'm sorry I'm at work, not always able to be by a radio, and I'd appreciate it if you could summarize that report later in your show, Impossible. So, Debbie, I hope you're hearing this. And, yes, the 5 million number was used, and no, I don't yet know the exact source of that. So what's at issue here is tension between two laws. The 1978 Presidential Records Act requires the administration to ensure that its decisions and deliberations are adequately documented and that records flowing out of these decisions are preserved. Now, you may recall that one of the first things George W. Bush did when he entered the White House on that 5-4 election from the Supreme Court was to issue an executive order which lengthened the amount of time that his father's presidential records were protected from investigation or scholarly research. And in the same swell foop, he limited access to the yet-to-be-generated records of the Bush 43 administration for a longer time as well. So this is an administration that's pretty aware of the Presidential Records Act and took some steps to loosen its effect on Poppy Bush and on W. Now, the other law is called the Hatch Act, and it prohibits federal officials from engaging in political business on government time and more or less on the government's dime. And so you can understand that Karl Rove, for example, working on the 2004 campaign cycle, might have an email address that's separate from his White House account so that he could keep apart his official duties as an employee of our government and his other duties as a campaign consultant or director to the Republican National Committee. But 5 million emails? 5 million that were off the official White House accounts? And we know, anecdotally, some of the uses of these non-official email accounts. Have you heard of Susan Ralston? She was Jack Abramoff's secretary. And then she got hired by Karl Rove when he moved into the White House in January of 2001. And it came out in the Abramoff trial that Susan Ralston was essentially a contact point between Abramoff and Rove. And according to the New York Times today, Ralston apparently preferred to email Abramoff and associates on her Republican National Committee BlackBerry. In one exchange, Abramoff and a colleague worried about an email that wound up in the White House system. Damn it, Abramoff wrote. It was sent to Susan on her RNC pager and was not supposed to go into the WH system. So what are they hiding? As I mentioned earlier today, there was a huge document dump, some 3,000 pages of emails, between Gonzalez at the Justice Department, his underlings, and operators at the White House, including Harriet Myers, Karl Rove, and others. And they, of course, did that document dump on a Friday evening, hoping that it would miss most news coverage. And I compared that to Nixon's limited hangout route during the Watergate era, when he said, well, let's just flood them with documents and information, and we'll tell them that that's everything. It's the whole shebang. And maybe they'll swallow it. Maybe they'll go for it. Well, it didn't work for Nixon, and I don't think that the limited hangout route is going to work for this administration either. So I'd love to hear from you. Lines are open, or you can email me at some personal risk. I will keep a copy of your email even after I delete it. My email address is peter@peterbcollins.com. And my telephone number, where you can reach me right now, is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'll tell you what, I need some callers right now, and to encourage you first-timers, if you are a virgin caller to the Peter B. Collins Show between now and 6 o'clock, I will reward you with a DVD. Got to remember what it's called. It is called Out of Balance, and it's about ExxonMobil's impact on climate change. We talked with the producer last week, Tom Jackson. So first-time callers get a DVD of Out of Balance, and I hope that's enough bribery to get you to call. Up next, we got James in Port Orford, Oregon. Welcome, James. I think you're a first-time caller.
Yeah, how you doing?
Nice to talk with you. We'll get a DVD out to you.
Thank you. What I wanted to say is that you don't really need to download any emails. All you have to do is go at the site where they're saved, such as Yahoo.
Yeah.
And you open them up on your screen. They never go onto your hard drive. You delete them. They never stay on your net. They were in RAM, and that's as far as they got to be in your hard drive. They never really got there.
That's if you used a web-based email service. But what if you use, if your email is at the server, for example, at peterbcollins.com?
Those, or your ISP.
Yeah, those emails, I believe, are kept there on the original server at the URL where they are dispatched to.
As far as I know, they probably are, up to a certain point.
Yeah.
But I think some of these ISPs, we have one here in town who is really, really tiny. And I think there's a certain maximum number of bytes that he'll store. And after that, they'll start deleting the oldest emails.
Right. But what we know is that they were using accounts on the Republican National Committee servers.
Right.
And so I agree with you. If they were using Yahoo or Hotmail, there is a less of a trail available. You'd have to go to Hotmail or Yahoo with a subpoena and say, you know, we're looking for an email from such and such a date between these two accounts. So as far as I know, you cannot erase an email that you have downloaded. You're correct that the web-based email is not actually downloaded to your computer unless you accept an attachment that's downloaded. And so that would be a way that would reduce their vulnerability, not eliminate it. And yet they didn't use that route. They apparently thought that they were safe by using these servers that they thought they controlled, and more importantly, that they thought would be beyond the subpoena power of a Congress. Of course, they probably didn't think that Congress was going to lose switch hands to Democratic control either.
Well, theoretically, that's true, but you don't know what they might want to do during the midnight hours, such as have somebody go in and erase the hard drive and reformat it and write it right over everything, so there are absolutely no tracks left whatsoever. But I think the Congress really has to get off its butt and send people down there to make sure that does not happen.
Right, and if they did take those actions to scrub the hard drives or scrub the servers, that's what we call obstruction of justice, and that's what Scooter Libby was just convicted of. And
oh, yeah.
I hope that that's a lesson to the other folks there in the Bush administration.
Well, it's damned if they do and damned if they don't. No, they're dead.
I would say they've got some problems. They've got some crisis management to do, James. Hey, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for checking in today.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to put you on hold, and Brian's going to get your address, and sometime in the next few weeks you'll get a DVD in the mail.
By the way, I think you're the best talk show host that I've heard on the radio within the past several years.
Well, James, that's very kind of you, and we'll still send you a CD, a DVD.
All right.
Thanks. We'll take a break and return in a moment for more of your phone calls. The lines are lighting up, but there's still room for more. So call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I
Show weekday mornings the, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
All right, let's take a look at our traffic report here. Last report of the evening, by the way. And we're going to mention that we do have a problem in Carmel. Carmel Valley Road at Kenyatta. It is a solo crash. Apparently a car went into a ditch on the right shoulder. A tow truck is on scene. Also want to take a look at Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lorenzo. We have an accident there. It's a solo vehicle that went off the roadway, landed into a ditch, and the CHP is, in fact, on scene there. And minor injuries, by the way. And Highway 1 at Carpenter, we have an accident reported there. CHP is there. Only other details we have. Stall car is blocking the lane in Monterey County. Laurel's graded Highway 68. This report brought to you by Toyota. Toyota owners, see your genuine Toyota service center for the convenience and value of an express lube, oil and filter, and tire change and rotation all in under an hour. That's traffic on KRXA.
Played this one in a while.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Yeah, but don't read our emails. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and thank you. The lines are lighting up. I appreciate it when people call the program toll-free at 888-5. Peter B., more of your calls here in just a second. But I wanted to mention an email that just came in a couple of minutes ago related to the Don Imus controversy. If you've just joined us, CBS Radio announced that they are joining NBC Television, and Don Imus's current career is over. He might move to satellite radio or reinvent himself, but for now, he's lost both of his gigs. And Robert McChesney is a professor at Southern Illinois University and also president of Free Press, a media activist group. And he has two key points for people who want to get something out of this controversy over the Imus racist remarks. Number one, he says, tell the FCC we need more diversity in the media. What Imus said is just the tip of the iceberg. Scores of other TV and radio hosts regularly make racist and sexist comments. The best way to stop this race to the bottom is to change who's sitting at the top and making the decisions about who's behind the mic. According to one industry study, only 2.5% of radio stations have a person of color in the role of general manager. Only 4.5% have a racial or ethnic minority in the role of news director. The percentage of women in these jobs isn't much higher. Now's your chance to make change. And in 2003, we stopped the FCC from allowing more media consolidation. Number two, he says, tell your friends to act. This time, we must not only stop further consolidation, we must demand media ownership that reflects the diversity that makes our nation great. That's a good set of points from Robert McChesney. Brad in Santa Cruz, thanks for your call. You're next here.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing?
You know, I wanted to mention that here in the People's Republic of Santa Cruz, among the many distinctions, it was the site of the single beehive with the most honey production in a year.
Wow.
Grown by one Ormond Ebby, or I should say kept, by one Ormond Ebby in the Live Oak District of Santa Cruz.
Well, congratulations, Ormond.
Yeah, well, the fellow's gone to the beekeeper's home in the sky.
I see.
And which is kind of, actually, it's kind of a good thing, because he didn't get to see this really decline in the health of the honeybee populations.
Mm-hmm.
It's really disturbing to those of us who've raised the little critters. You know, they're just, they're under so much stress, I guess, like the humans they hang around, that they're, they're not producing as much as they once did. You know, over the last 2 years, California per hive production in 06 was 52 pounds. The year before, it had been 75 pounds.
Oh, my.
And this is a continuing trend. It used to be that any old beekeeper who didn't do anything could get a couple hundred pounds out of his hive.
So how many hives do you have, Brad?
You know, I just got five here on my little piece of the world, helping the folks in the valley, you know, pollinate their crops of various kinds.
So do you rent them out for stud service?
Oh, no. I just struggled to keep my five healthy. I'm actually a new beekeeper. This is why I'm so up on all the stats. You know, the old guys, they don't care. They just go along with it.
So you're a newbie. A newbie at beekeeping.
That's right. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Well, I'm glad you called because, you know, as I said, this came as a complete surprise to me when I first heard about it around 10 days ago.
Oh, no kidding.
And I think people need to know about this. It hasn't gotten a lot of news coverage.
You know, there's actually an awful lot of concern in many circles. And probably not as much action going on as there should be. You know, there's University of California at Davis used to have three full professors studying bees. Now they have none.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. So who's going to help us out of this? You know, is there a cure on the way? Who knows?
All right, Brad, thanks for checking in. Good to talk to you.
Bye.
Susan in Massachusetts, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello,
good
Susan.
Good to talk to you. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, same. I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad you've called. I just got your email, and you will get a DVD, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, I was emailing you about the email thing.
Right. And I forwarded your email to Carl Rove.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm sure he's already had the idea that I had, which is, of course, that the Internet now needs to be destroyed.
Well, you know,
that's
they
a scary thought, but it's not beyond them.
But see, I don't think they want to destroy it. I think they simply want to monitor it, and they've achieved that with the NSA intercept programs, the way they've forced the phone companies to cough up access to our Internet communications. So I think they'd rather keep the Internet going because they think that it's going to provide them with information and evidence.
Yeah, but it's providing us with information and evidence now.
Indeed.
And therein lies the rub. And I can see very easily where, you know, between them and the NSA, that they've got some little Trojan or virus out there just already set to go to shut this thing down so that they can make sure that those emails go away forever.
Yeah. Well, you raise an interesting point, and they could, of course, blame it on cyber terrorists.
There you go. Exactly.
And then everyone with a mouse will have to, you know, go and report to the nearest Office of Homeland Security.
That could very well be. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
When mouse...
I just wanted to put that idea out there to you. Followed you from Phoenix.
Oh, good. And when computer mouses are illegal, only illegals will have computer something like
that.
There
you go. All right,
Susan.
Mine right now.
Hold on. We'll get you a DVD. Thanks for your call today.
All right.
Now to Bill in Coos Bay. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Phil.
Oh,
actually.
Phil. Okay, Phil.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Listen, I know you're running out of time, so I won't keep you that long.
Uh-huh.
I just shot you an email, too, about my wife's web page.
All right, I'll check it out.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you about when I was working with the state, one of my duties was to back up the server tapes for the day's work.
Yeah.
And we had to back it up daily. And the only way emails got deleted is if we installed software into the server program to delete it. So they never got deleted. And we had to keep the tapes in a fire safe.
Really?
So, them losing 5,000 emails.
No, it's 5 million.
Oh, 5 million?
That's right,
Phil.
That's
even worse.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like 1974, doesn't it?
It really does. It's so damn convenient. Well, Phil, hold on here. We're going to get you a DVD, too, and I thank you for the call today.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right, and we got time for one more. D.B. Cooper is the code name. Hey, D.B.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Just fine.
I am a first-time caller as well.
Welcome from Western Michigan.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm about straight north of GR and straight east of Muskegon.
Oh, beautiful. I love it there.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't love it today. It's cold.
Okay.
It's snowing. But anyway.
You got 30 seconds, DB.
I am a Microsoft-certified systems engineer.
Uh-huh.
And I started way back in the early 80s, pretty much in the birth of the IBM PC, and I've had to undelete so many files from people who would wipe their root directory off on a DOS machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these emails, even if they're looking at them on Hotmail or Yahoo, they are still being held with temporary files that your browser keeps.
Mm-hmm.
And the browser does, it attempts to clean up when you shut the browser down, shut your machine down or whatever. But at the same time, there's still evidence on the individual computers, not necessarily just on the Hotmail Yahoo servers or on the RNC server.
DB, I wish I had more time, but Trigger's here and I got to ride out into the sunset. Hold on, we'll get you a DVD. And listen again tomorrow to the
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. On what turned out to be his last day on the air for CBS Radio, Don Imus was alternately humble and defiant.
These bastards, they went after me. They got me.
MSNBC had already dumped him, and late today, CBS pulled the plug.
One day you got a radio and TV show, and, well, next day you don't.
CBS News correspondent Nancy Cortes reports the campaign to get Imus fired, led by Al Sharpton, proved to be too much to ignore.
The pressure built and built until it was just too much.
It was our appeal to really have the second shoe of justice drop.
According to a statement from CBS President Les Moonves, he is terminating the Imus in the Morning radio show effective immediately, saying, I believe all of us have been deeply revulsed by the statements that were made on our air about the young women who represented Rutgers University.
Imus was expected to meet with the Rutgers women's basketball team this evening at the New Jersey Governor's Mansion. The governor isn't there. John Corzine was hurt a few hours ago when his vehicle went out of control and struck a highway guardrail. He was helicoptered to a hospital, but officials say Corzine's injuries are not considered life-threatening. It was the worst security breach yet in Baghdad's Green Zone. A suicide bombing inside the Iraqi parliament's cafeteria killed at least 8 people, including 3 lawmakers.
The suicide bomber may have actually been the bodyguard of one of the Iraqi politicians.
CBS News reporter Martin Seemungal in Baghdad, where the Green Zone is regarded as the safest place around.
To get to the convention center, visitors go through at least 4 separate armed security checks. In the process, they are searched. Any bags they are carrying are x-rayed. And finally, every visitor goes through a full body scanner.
How someone was able to get inside with explosives is unclear. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports there's a new dispute between Congress and the White House over the firings of those 8 federal prosecutors.
At-issue email sent by White House political aides using Republican Party accounts. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy questions the White House claim that the emails may have been mistakenly deleted.
I wouldn't want anybody to think these are lost emails. These are just emails they don't want to bring forward.
And the White House fired back.
It's troubling. I mean, I don't know if Senator Leahy is also...